All right, let me get cut on, I guess. Let's see here. All right. Am I on? Okay.
It's good to be in.
Now, there we go. Now we're on, we're live. All right, it's good to be in the Lord's house. I thank God for the privilege of being back in God's house. And he mentioned about going, Brother Danny being up in Ruffin. And you pray for us. We're going to try to go up there and do that skit on Friday night. So you pray for us as we travel there, that the Lord will just bless and help us. Thank God for that. I tell you what, I thank God that we're able to do this. You just pray that, you know, we might touch some young person. Don't never know what kind of impact you're going to have when you go to places like this. But I appreciate the opportunity of being here and appreciate the privilege of being in God's house tonight. He's good, and he's good all the time. There's never a time when God's not good. And boy, I thank God for that. And so you pray for us tonight that we just mind the Lord. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the book of John. John chapter number 10. John chapter number 10. We're going to look at some things. Been preaching back in the junior church some, and this past Sunday, we got to talking about the shepherd. And I preached out of the 23rd Psalm back there. And as you all, some of you know, you can't go very long back there with those kids. You know, they kind of get a little restless. And We, you know, the Lord helped us back there. You know, a lot of people think those types of things, preaching there is to take it for granted. They need to hear the gospel same as everybody else. And so, but the Lord helped us back there. We had a good service back there, actually, last this past Sunday. But I said that to say this, the Lord wouldn't let me get away. Ever since then, I've been talking about, been thinking on the shepherd and the sheep. And so you just pray for us tonight. Beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you that he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out." Now drop down to verse number 9. He says, "I am the door. By me if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and is not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he's a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine." And I'm going to stop there. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let's pause again in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for the privilege again it is to be in your house. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Lord, for your mercy. You've been mighty merciful to us, Lord, just giving us another opportunity to be in here. Lord, I pray right now that you'd help us. God, that you just hide us behind the cross, give us that unction, it comes from thee. Lord, may the word of God find a lodging place in every heart. Lord, as we leave here, be saying it's good to be in your house. Well, thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. I just want to begin tonight about the good shepherd. He is the good shepherd. There's some things here about the shepherd that we have, and I want us to look at it. That word, by the way, when the Bible starts out with saying, "Verily, verily," that means truly, truly, or of a truth. "I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door, but climbeth up some other way, is a thief and a robber." So what's he saying is, he's saying he's the good shepherd, and the only way, of course, we know to get to him is to get to heaven is through by him. He is he is the good shepherd. And he's the only way we could ever enter in. And so we see here in these passages of scriptures that I just read to you, begins to talk about how that if we enter in some other way, He says, he talked about he that entereth by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Now, I want to bring some things out by the help of the Lord, and you pray for us. That the thing about shepherding sheep. Now, I've done a little study on shepherding a sheep and how the shepherd takes care of the sheep and all. I've not been there. I've not seen it, but I've read about it, seen some things on television about the shepherd and the sheep. The sheep are very dependent upon the shepherd. Them sheep are real dependent upon the shepherd. Because why? Well, you say, well, he feeds them. He feeds them, and the shepherd does take care of them and all that, and that's true. But it's more than that. More than that. That shepherd, a real good shepherd, will actually take them sheep, and he'll bring them in, and he'll take care of them, and he knows every one of them. He's got pet names for every one of them. It's his sheep, and that's the shepherd. I did hear about over in the Middle East, there in Israel, they still do that a lot, and them sheep will, you know, the shepherd will take them sheep up to places where, you know, for feeding, for watering. And by the way, sheep won't drink from running water. It spooks them. There has to be still waters. That's why the 23rd Psalm talks about he leads me beside the still waters. And so them sheep are they are dependent on the shepherd. They know that shepherd's not going to take them anywhere. It's always going to be good. So they'll follow that shepherd. Wherever he goes, they follow. Mind you, the shepherd never does drive them. He leads them. Leads them. A true shepherd will lead his flock. And that flock will follow the shepherd. And there's something about that, and of course, we read this, and I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit about how the sheep hear the voice and all that. But I want to look at this aspect, how he brings them in, they lead him. But I got to looking at studying some of the shepherd and how they done the sheep over in Israel. You know, there'll be a bunch of shepherds with a bunch of flock of sheep, and a lot of times they'll be there together, and you kind of wonder, how in the world does all them sheep know which one's who? How do they know? It's because they know the shepherd. And all them shepherds, they'll be standing down there, and they'll be looking up there at the sheep, and this, all them herds of sheep will be all over the hills. And there's a bunch of shepherds standing down there. And about that time, one of the shepherds will speak. He'll make a noise. Hey, whoa, what? And about that time, them sheep of that flock will come running in behind him. They all know the shepherd. And they know that it's him. We could probably stand and we could holler at the sheep, and they ain't going to pay you no attention. I know Ralph Sessions talking about, he said he went over there and said he got off the tour bus and seen some of this over in Israel. And said he went to try to feed some of them sheep, and them sheep wouldn't even pay him no attention. He said he goes, little sheep here, sheep here, and call them and stuck his hand out there, had some sweet feed and stuff. They wouldn't even pay him no attention. Said them sheep just kept on walking where the shepherd went. Why is that? Because they don't hear nobody but the shepherd. That they are so much dependent upon him, because they know, hey, that's the boss, that's the one that takes care of us. He's the one that gives us everything we need. He takes care of us. And so they ain't going to listen up now. A good shepherd, that's what he does. He takes care of them, and the sheep will follow the shepherd. And so, as I read here tonight, in the 10th chapter of the book of John, there's some aspects about the shepherd and the sheep. The shepherd work of our Lord, three aspects. First, as the good shepherd, he gives life for the sheep. Yeah. Boy, he did. And he says, therefore, he becomes the door. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. So the shepherd that we have in the aspects of the Lord, he is our shepherd. He is the one that gave us life. He laid himself down. And so he is now, he gives his life. He gave his life for the church. Jesus died on the cross. We know this. And he gave his life. That's the great, he's the shepherd that gives his life for the sheep. And here's something about this, about that shepherd, is that a good shepherd, no matter what, if the wolf or enemy comes along, what's he going to do? That shepherd is going to jump in there and step in between the sheep and the wolf or the enemy, whatever that is. By the way, tonight, you know who our enemy is? Our enemy's not the church down the road. It's not our brothers and sisters. It's not somebody we don't... The enemy is the devil. The devil is the enemy of the church. The Bible says he's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Now listen to me. The devil is not after those out there in the world. You say, wait a minute now. What? No, he's not. He done got them. He's got his sights and targets set in on you and me. That's the reason we have so much the hardships and the troubles and things like that. It's the devil. He's got his targets set in on us. You say, well, how are we able to defend? How we're to go to the shepherd. For the shepherd takes care of the flock. And he takes care of the enemy. And the devil does come around and he does give us... But let me tell you something. We can go to the shepherd. And we say, hey, shepherd. And he'll step in between and he'll help us. Now, sometimes in helping us, it might not be the way we think. Because I know how I am. I know his... Sometimes we try to help the Lord. We try to do things. And a lot of times, I know, you know, when you do that, what happens? It's a mess. You can't help him. He knows how to do it. And all we need to do is just let him have his way. If we'll let the Lord have his way, there'll be some amazing things he'll do in our life. I mean, and I'm going to tell you something. If God really got in here like he wanted to, we'd be out yonder in the yard somewhere. I mean, if we pray and ask the Lord to move and to stir in our hearts, and he got in here like he really wanted to, boy, we'd have a time that God can see. And by the way, he still can send revival in these last days. God can still revive. He can still bless in these days. Yes, I know the Lord's coming back. Yes, we are living in troubled times, but he's still on the throne, and the shepherd knows he's ahead of it all. He's still in control. There's nothing caught God off by surprise. Do you realize everything that happened today, it didn't catch him by surprise one bit, did it? Because he's God. He's in control of it all. He's sovereign. And I'm glad that a sovereign God looked down through time one day and saw me and you out here trying to make a move and had a plan for us. And he sent his son to die in our place and take our penalty. Now put us in the fold. We belong to him. You're not your own. If you're saved tonight, you're not your own. You've been bought. You've been purchased. That purchased price was by his blood. Boy, that's a thing. I tell you what, that thrills my heart tonight to know that I belong to him, not because I'm anything, but because he's everything. And I have to depend on him to make it through this life. But he could have said, wait a minute, stop, mankind's too low down, mankind's too sinful, they just deserve to die and go to hell. Just let them go on down there. But he could have, and still would have been God. You say, wait a minute, now I thought God, yes, he is a loving God, but he could have sent us all to hell and still would have been God. But he didn't do that, did he? He loved us with an unending love. A love that blows our mind. A love that there's no way possible that we could ever have a love like that. I mean, in life, in here, in aspects to your a mother's love or to a father's love. There's no kind of love can compare to God's love. Because it's unconditional. It never ends. I mean, he'd been loving me a long time. But the Bible says, over there in Ephesians, he says talks about before the foundation of the world, before the mud seals of this world was ever laid, God looked down through the telescope of time and saw you and I. And he had a plan. He sent his son to die for us so that he could redeem us and save us. Thank God for that. Now listen, I'm not saying, you know, I'm not one of the hyper-Calvinists who believes that, you know, well, there ain't no sense in trying to witness nobody that. No, I don't believe that. I believe we need to get out and tell folks. Yes, God does know. But listen, that's not a thing that for us to say, well, we just throw up our hands. And no, he's sovereign, yes. God does know, yes. But God extended his hand to all. The Bible says, whosoever will. Amen. Whosoever will, call him in. You say, how's that got to do with the shepherd and the sheep? Right, here we go. He put us in the... When we got saved, we were placed in the fold. We were placed in Christ Jesus. And now we've become into that flock. We're the flock of God. Now sheep are very, very, they're very dumb animals. They're short legged. They depend on the shepherd, yes. But when they fall over, now I talk about this in in the junior church Sunday. And some of the kids started laughing. I said, I know it sounds funny, but I said, when a sheep falls down, they can't get up because of their short legs. And so they have to, some of them's died. Sometimes something's come in. But a shepherd has that rod and staff. And there's a reason for that rod and staff. Over there in Psalm 23, it talks about the rod and the staff comforts me. Well, see, we know what, most of you who are a student of the Bible, you know what that rod's for. It's to beat the enemy off. That staff, though, it's got a big long hook on the end of the top. It's for picking us up when we fall down. It's pulling us out of a hole. When we get way down in a hole, that shepherd could reach way down with that staff with a hook and hook the sheep, pick that sheep up, and pull them up out of the hole. Boy, it's been many a time that I, in my life as a Christian, been walking down life's road and I've stumbled and I've failed, but the shepherd come by and reached down and pulled me out of that hole, dusted me off, said it's going to be all right. Took care of my wounds, bound up my wounds, put some oil in it, and I tell you, he took care of me. And let me tell you something, that's some sweet times. But God does, he's done that for everyone. There's been times in your life where we fail, but the shepherd comes by and picks us up. And that's the way the shepherd worked. And so one of the aspects is, he, as a good shepherd, he gives his life for the sheep. And is therefore the door by which if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He became that door. The door, Christ Jesus, is the door. No other way to heaven. Boy, there's a lot of people trying to figure it out and work it out and do other ways. But the only way through to get to heaven is by that door, and it's Jesus Christ. He's the door where for all mankind can be saved. And there's the first aspect as the shepherd work of our Lord. The second aspect is he is the great shepherd brought again from the dead to care for, make perfect the sheep. So, hey, listen, he's coming up. I'm glad to know that when he died on the cross, he didn't stay dead. He's not. We're the only Christians, I'm talking about Christianity, we're the only group that serves a living God. Our God's alive. A lot of people say, how do you know that? A lot of the agnostics, a lot of the doubters, a lot of the other groups. How do you know that Christ is alive? How do you? Because he's alive in my heart. He's changed me. How can anybody, who other God but Jesus can change a drunk man? Turn him around. Take a drug off drugs. No, all the other gods are dead. Some of them's got them in tombs and they're there, they're dead. But our God, we look at His tomb, it's empty. And there's a big old sign that says, He's not here for He's risen. And you know something? That's the first thing Christ did whenever He finished that work, the plan of salvation. When He died and cried, it's finished, and it was over, and He got up, He defeated death, hell, and the grave. When the third day He rose, victorious over death, hell, and the grave, and got the keys. Listen, that's one of the first things that He abolished death for you and I. We're never going to die. If you're saved, you say, wait a minute. I mean, I read in all the time the paper about so-and-so, they died, they passed away. I went to their funeral. That's right, but the real you is not going to die. We're going on to a better land. That's our hope tonight, is the hope that we have in Christ Jesus, is knowing that when it don't make no difference, I can pill in my head tonight and know if I leave here or what, tonight or tomorrow, I know where I'm going because of Him. I'm not here. Now, you might read your obituary in the paper, you might see that, but hey, listen, we're not here because of what He did. But getting on down there, He says, I am the good shepherd. By the way, in this chapter, the word I am is mentioned several times. And I've sometimes stopped to count, and I didn't count, but I am. Why is that so important? Well, you go back into the Old Testament, Moses, remember Moses? Lord, who do I say sent? Say, I am sent me. You say, and to man and to people with grammar says, well, that don't make sense. Yes, it does. It makes perfect sense. He said, I am. What's that? That's present tense. He's all the time present. I'm glad we got a God that's never in the past, never too far ahead of us. He's always here. He's here. He's with you everywhere you go. He's the great I am. I am that I am is what He told Moses to tell them. He's the I am. He's always present and always with us. And boy, He says, I am the good shepherd. And he says, the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Boy, when the enemy comes in, a wolf or whatever tries to come into the fold, what does that shepherd do? He jumps out there with his rod. And he gets between the sheep and that enemy. And he fights off the enemy. If it costs the shepherd his life, he said he'd lay down his life for the sheep. As time, they talked about how the shepherd at night would lay down at the doorway where the sheep sat to protect them sheep at night while they sleep. And would even lay his... That's a good shepherd. And boy, that makes you think of Jesus, don't it? He laid his life down for you. Laid his life down. Died in our place. Took your punishment so that we wouldn't have to go to hell. Thank God for that. Man, you think about that tonight. That's a blessed thought. Now, I've been saved 38 years this July. Most of my life. I'm 44 years old. I've been saved 38 years this coming July. On a warm July evening in 1974, Brother Danny talks about the revival in 72. I was in that. I was there when Brother Danny got saved. And there was a whole bunch of them young people got in there. And I remember I sat on the front pew. There I was beside my brother. My feet are dangling off that pew. God was moving. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I've never seen God move like He was moving since then in that time. In 72, 73, 74. That put me about 4 or 5 years old. We joke about this, Brother Danny. We talk about age and how old we was. But that's right. I was about 4 or 5 years old. In the early 70s, how God moved. And I was there. And, you know, you think about this. Now, listen. I don't know what it's like, and I'm not... There's nothing in me any good except for the Lord. But I don't know anything about how alcohol and drugs affect you. I didn't go down that road. Because I was in church all my life. My mom and dad took me to church all my life. I was raised. I cut my teeth on the back of a pew in a Baptist church. There at Nebo First Baptist. Hall Hollifield, Brother Danny talks about Hall, is my pastor too. And so I remember that as I grew up in that church and grew up around this kind of, I don't know, you know, the old time way, I don't know anything else. This is all I know. And I'm glad. Bob talks about seek out the old paths, walk therein, which is the good way. And it is the good way, and it's the right way, because that's what I know in all them years. And so, as I was a little old boy, I remember in 74, on a warm July evening, Ed McAbee was preaching that over at the Nebo camp meeting. And that's when they had shavings on the floor. Boy, God was a dealing with my heart. I just kept looking at that. I don't remember nothing he said. I just remembered I needed to get to that altar. You say, what in the world could a 6 or 7 year old boy would listen? I need to be saved same as a 7 year old. 6 or 60 don't make no difference. God got a hold of me that night, and as I made my way to the altar that night and knelt, and Hall got down beside me and he asked me what you come up here for, son. I said, I want to be saved. Boy, I remember that's a great big, and I remember that. But you know, and it's like we all can say, no, I've not done all I should and could and all that, but I thank God He not only saved my soul, but He saved my life from a world of all the drugs. Now, I don't know nothing about that. I've seen friends and I've seen people and all that, but I'm thankful for that. I praise God for that tonight, that I was raised in a Christian home and that took me to church, grandma and grandpa on both sides, took me to church and had the privilege to preach in both of their churches over in Spruce Pine. And thank God, they're all but my grandma on my mama's side still living. They're all in heaven tonight. But thank God for that raising that I had. Some of the best times. You say, what are you saying this for? The Lord's just laying it on my heart. I'm just giving you my heart. I remember times as a little boy growing up, my grandpa walking out under the shed out there, out where he had the woodshed. He'd sit out there and he'd whip it. He'd put a plug of day's work chewing the back in his mouth while people say, oh, Lord, have mercy. Now listen, and that man loved God. And he went out there and he'd whittle and we'd talk. That's some of the best times that I've ever had. That's some good education. The best schooling I ever got was right there. My grandpa and tell me about the Lord and tell me some things. And you know, I remember when I got called, when I surrendered the call to preach in 87, I've been, you know, trying to preach ever since then, but I remember some advice from some old men of God that told me, said, son, I thought they was going to tell me something profound. I got ready. I thought, boy, they're really going to tell me something. They said, what best thing you can do is go find you someplace. If you have to go out yonder in the woods somewhere and crawl up in some kind of an old hollow log, get along with God and let God fill you up with the Holy Ghost. Then get up there and mount that pulpit. Boy, I thought, what in the world? I thought this gave me something. But that's the best advice that I could ever be given to a young preacher. Was get out yonder and get along with God and pray and let God fill you up. Then mount that pulpit. Because I'm going to tell you something. This thing right here is very sacred. This is a calling from God. And I don't take it lightly. It's a privilege to be able to preach to you tonight. And I know I'm talking about the shepherd, but I'm just giving you my heart, what I came up in. And so I'm glad to know that through the years as I've come along, yeah, I know we could all say we could have done more and all that, but I'm glad I had what I had. And it was by the grace of God. I could have been born in some foreign country with a family that never heard anything about God. But God had me to be born right here in these mountains and foothills. And to hear some of the best preaching ever walked in shoe leather. He talks about Joe Parsons. I heard him. Percy Ray, I heard them. Billy Kelly, all them fellas. Them kind of preaching. That's what I grew up under. And you know, today I look back, and as Brother Danny mentioned this too, Sunday, that kind of preaching, some of that old preaching come along right now, well, they'd put them in jail with the kind of preaching that they had, that I grew up listening to. It was God, it was Spirit-filled preaching that they believed God. You talk about Percy Ray, son, that man's son, he believed God. I mean, he'd pray and it happened. I mean, we've gotten away from it. What's happened? Well, I'm gonna read to you. But he that is a hireling, what? Is not the shepherd, whose sheep are not the seeth, the wolf cometh and leave the sheep. We've got a lot of hirelings running around the country. They're not shepherds. They want to take it as a vocation and a job. Talking about preachers and pastors. And there's a lot of them out there that's like hireling. And when they're leading them away, they just run off and the wolf comes in. A lot of them are in a little bit like the wolf in sheep's clothing, disguised. You say, hey, why are you saying that for? Because it's the truth. Bible preaching is something that's becoming foreign in a lot of churches today. You say, how do you know that? Because I go places and you see it. A lot of people don't even know what's in their Bible. Become a student of that word. I heard an old preacher tell me one time, he said, eat, chew, and digest that word. I said, what do you mean? He said, get in that book and read it. Don't just take it for what the preacher says. Read it. I know I pastored several churches and I would go down through the pews and see the people. And so I know if you do this, I'm sorry, but my Bible's important to me. I'm going to take it with me. This is the Word of God. It's just not a book you put up on the shelf. The King James Bible is the Word of God. It's what we stand on. We're Bible believing. If we're Bible believers, we need to read it. Take it home. Read it. Pray. Seek the Lord. Then you got some on the other hand say, I believe the Bible, I believe the Bible. But they forgot about the author. He'll pray to the author. They talk about, I believe the Bible, I believe. When's the last time you talked to God? When's the last time you prayed? Seek God. Hey, listen, it goes both ways. Read it. Pray. Do you know that is communication? Right there. You know how God speaks to us today? He used in the Old Testament, you know, he'd call out there audibly and said, Moses, this is what I want you to... And they would talk. That's how they talked to the Old Testament. The Lord had come down, and as you remember, Moses in the burning bush there, you know, took his shoes off, and God talked to him through the bushes. God spoke audibly. Listen, they didn't have the whole Word of God like we have today. We've got the Word of God. God speaks to us today through His Word. He don't come down and says, now listen, I've got a new revelation. That ain't the way the Lord... If it don't line up with that Bible, you just might as well trash it. Don't listen to it. It's got to be from the Word of God. And so, listen, that's how God speaks to us. How He speaks to us is through His Word. How do we speak to Him? When we bow in an altar and call out to Him. Or driving down the road. However, whenever your prayer time. Your time when you get along with God. That's, by the way, that's where we get our strength and our help. And our spiritual help as we go through this life. Listen, I'm still on my subject about the Good Shepherd. He says, I am the good shepherd. The hireling, what, flees, and the sheep scatters, and the enemy comes in and destroys them. Why? Because he's a hireling. He don't care nothing about the sheep. We've got too many of those that don't care. All they want is just to get up there and listen to me. You know, a lot of preachers sit around waiting for something to happen. I'm waiting on a church to call me. Wait for something. Listen, there's time. I remember going street preaching and everywhere and stuff, and you got to watch that now some places, but you can still do that. Go places. But, you know, the Lord called me to preach. And if God called me to preach, He'll put you where you need to be to preach His Word. And so I'm thankful for that what the Lord's doing in our hearts. But I'm getting to the hireling. He don't care for the sheep. The sheep just scatter. But He says, I am the good shepherd. And they know my sheep, and I've known them mine. They know me. So got the rod, the staff, and there's the shepherd. Third aspect, and I'll hurry along. Third aspect of the shepherd. I talked about number one as a good shepherd. He gives his life for the sheep and becomes the door where if any man shall enter, he shall be saved. Then he's the great shepherd brought again from the dead to care to make the sheep, to take care of the sheep. And so now we see here that number three, that he is now that shepherd. He's the chief shepherd who is coming again in glory to give crowns and reward to faithful shepherds. Listen, he's going to become that chief shepherd that's going to come again. As I said a while ago, we're looking for Him. Tonight, our hope's not in anything else but Him. What keeps us going on as a child of God is that hope. One day He's going to step out on the clouds, trump's going to sound, and we're out of here. With just the speed of thought. The Bible says in the twinkling of an eye, we're gone. We'll be caught up. That's soon to come. I believe we're right. I mean, you say, I hear this all the time. It don't matter. I believe we're close to the coming of the Lord. I believe He's soon to come back. He could come back tonight. I mean, He could come back before we ever get out of here. Never know. The Bible didn't say get ready. He said to be ye therefore ready, as in an hour as ye think not, Son of Man come. You know, a thief ain't going to call you up and say, I'm coming over there and I'm going to rob you. What do you reckon I'm going to say back? I'm waiting on you, buddy. Come on. Most of you will. Come on, buddy. I'm waiting. He said he'll come as a thief and a robber. Now, what's that mean? That means he'll come unexpectedly. When most folks is not expecting. Now, they're getting all kinds of books out about, well, the Lord's coming back this year. This is going to happen. This, so and so and so. No man knows that. Only God knows. And they can sit down and write all the books and tell you all the ways that they know how it's going to happen. It don't make no difference. Only God knows. So we're to be ready. If you're not ready tonight, I believe I'll be getting ready. How you get ready? Now. Be ye therefore ready. Now. Today is the day of salvation. And so you see the three aspects of that shepherd. As he's the good shepherd, gives his life, and he's the great shepherd that has been brought back again alive from the dead. And he's the chief shepherd coming again. Now, I don't always agree with some of Scofield's notes, and that's some of Scofield's, but some of those things were pretty good. But you know, I'm glad to know that we have that hope. If you don't have that hope tonight, you can know. And I'm glad to know that he's the good shepherd. He's the shepherd that takes care of the sheep, and he's coming again. And so, he said here that all one day, over there in the other, he said, other sheep if I have, which are not this fold, I must bring them. What's that talking about? He's saying there's many more to come in to get saved. That's what that means. There'll be, as when they all come together and the trump sounds and that last one gets in. Boy, wouldn't that be something? When that last, if we're around and that last one gets in and then that's it, we're gone. You know, boy, that'd be all right with me. I mean, I want to go and do in this life. I mean, God makes us, in our makeup and all, we want to try to strive to live as long as we can, as the Lord permits. But we know that there's coming a day, that great day, when He's going to the trumpet sound, we're out of here. Boy, all them sorrows and troubles and bill collectors and everything you're facing tonight will be over with. It'll be just a dream. No more nothing. Boy, you can imagine that. It's hard to imagine a time where there'd be no more sickness, no more pain, no more suffering. One of these days, it's going to happen, brother. One day, it'll all be just over with. Boy, I'm longing for that day, ain't you? I thank God that I have my hope in Him. You know, people wonder, so how can people that go through things that they do, how are they able to have a smile and encouragement? How are they able to? It's because of what they have on the inside. It's because we have a hope. We're not wandering around in the dark, groping, trying to feel our way through. We're people heading somewhere, heading to a land that's been prepared. Now listen, heaven and all of its grandeur and all that stuff, the streets of gold, street of gold, walls of jasper, and all these things sounds good, but you know, that's not really makes heaven heaven to me. What will make heaven heaven is seeing the one that bled and died, and seeing them scarred. By the way, they are going to be open wounds right there. Show forth. You say, wait a minute, I thought that was like a scar, a scratch on the hand. Oh no. He says, see the nail prints. Remember what he told Thomas? Old Thomas over yonder? Old doubting Thomas said, I ain't going to believe till I see it, till I touch the nail prints. And said, I ain't going to believe it. And then, you know, but by the way, you know, all the rest of that gang in there was a doubting too before he come through that door. And we'd be the same way. A lot of people says, I thought they were just scars. Oh no, they're open wounds. The Bible talks about that. He shows in his hands. What did Thomas do when he seen him? He said, it's you, Lord, I see, I believe. And he says, blessed are those who've not seen but yet believe. I've not seen them, but I believe because he done it for you and I. He'll show those wounds. He'll say, this is what I've done for you, church. This is what I've done for you. And boy, we'll see him. And boy, by the way, at Transparent City, I mean, Jesus will be everywhere. He'll be everywhere. He talks about he'll be the light of that city. He is the sun, because he's the sun. He's the light. We'll look, there'll be Jesus all over the place, because he is the one that makes heaven heaven. Boy, I'm glad to know that tonight, ain't you? I appreciate the privilege, opportunity to be here. I appreciate what the Lord's doing in our lives. You just continue to pray. Pray that the Lord will bless him, strengthen us in these days, that we'd ever do and stand and do what the Lord would have us to do. Every head bowed, every eye closed this evening as we're closing. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for the privilege of being here tonight. We thank you, God, for your mercy and your grace and your love that's been bestowed upon us. Thank you, Lord, for that you are the good shepherd, that you do care for the sheep, that you help us and you strengthen us. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name tonight. Lord, you'd help us now as we go forward, as we go out for the rest of the week. Lord, many people that's worked or tired, some of them having already, you know, a long week, I pray, God, that you just renew their strength. Help them. Lord, as we come back to your house on the Lord's day, Lord, that we'd be ready to worship. Lord, we'll thank you and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All heart.